On a Friday, it is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Local officials in Wisconsin are on the front lines of debunking conspiracy theories related to COVID-19. False information gains traction on social media. Then city council members and health department leaders have the burden of convincing people that the rumors aren't true. Howard Hardy is reporting on this. He's a journalist based in Madison who's a fellow at First Draft. That's a Google News Lab project to fight misinformation and disinformation online. It's also in collaboration with Wisconsin Watch. Howard is working to detect and report on disinformation online, and he's talked about his findings with WPR host Keely Baltina.
The false conspiracies you're writing about are rooted in contact tracing. Remind us what that is.
Yeah, contact tracing identifies and informs people who have been in contact with someone who has tested positive for COVID-19.
Yeah, people just don't seem to trust contact tracing. Where's the concern coming from?
Suspicion and mistrust of contact tracers kind of gained traction early on in the pandemic. You know, in the middle of March, you could see some kind of goofy ideas surrounding contact tracing kind of germinate and gain traction, where a lot of people were associating it with some sort of like Big Brother style surveillance state.
And that brings us to an Appleton City Council meeting. Local leaders there, they took wrong or unsubstantiated concerns that were swirling, especially on social media, and they started talking about them. Tell us about that.
Yeah, they got in this position where they felt like they had to address these rumors on social media head on. A big post that seemed to be really influential and directed a lot of residents toward the Appleton City Council appeared on the Facebook page Wisconsinites Against Excessive Quarantine. It was calling on people to oppose this funding that was being considered by the Appleton City Council. They were considering accepting up to $1.2 million in state reimbursement for contact tracing efforts. And this post warned that some really bad stuff was going to happen at the city council meeting, and that surveillance cameras had, in fact, already been set up all around the city. So it really seemed like it was stirring up a lot of fear and mistrust of contact tracers in general. And so the council felt like they had to address those rumors directly, which they did during their June 17th meeting.
How did they do that?
They prompted city staff members to address some of the specific rumors that they had been hearing from residents. They kind of got bombarded with emails and messages from people who lived in Appleton and people who weren't from there as well. And so they asked city staffers whether, you know, the city had any plans to forcibly remove anyone from their homes, or if they had plans to build an isolation center in the city of Appleton. And they also posed this question of whether or not cameras were being installed for monitoring people as they self-isolated or quarantined in their homes. And the intent there was just to provide a forum for the city staffers to kind of shoot these rumors down and address them directly.
What do you hear from local leaders about this, about them being questioned about things like putting up cameras everywhere?
Well, one of the main interviews in my story was with Katie Van Zeeland, who is an older person on the city council. And she was really pretty frustrated with the situation because she felt like she was being put in this position where she had to address these rumors that were kind of impossible to disprove. She felt like the burden of proof was being placed on the city council, and she just, you know, recounted this really frustrating experience of like not knowing how to prove something isn't true.
Howard Hardy is a journalist who's written an investigative piece for Wisconsin Watch. We're talking about local officials needing to debunk conspiracy theories amid COVID-19 as leaders try to get their arms around this in the pandemic and protect communities. This is the Ideas Network. How much does this distrust when it comes to contact tracing lay into or is just kind of one piece of a greater challenge that communities are seeming to distrust government?
I would say that it's part and parcel of that greater trend of just, questioning science and being skeptical of government officials, including local officials. We've seen a lot of mistrust directed at public health departments since the COVID-19 pandemic began. So I see this issue of the contact tracers fitting into that broader pattern of being skeptical of our local leaders and science-backed protocols.
What are you finding about people who hesitate to give these contact tracers names of friends or family they've been in contact with?
Well, I've heard from our local health department here, Department of Public Health, Madison, Dane County, that they're encountering a lot of skepticism from young people who feel like they've gotten in trouble when they are contacted by a contact tracer. They feel like if they reveal who they've been near recently, that they're going to get their friends in trouble, or there'll be some consequences for participating in gatherings. When really the contact tracers are trying to keep their own personal judgments entirely out of it, and they just really want to track the spread of COVID-19 in our community.
And yet, you also heard that some contact tracers are not having problems; that people are really cooperating with them.
Yeah, I did also hear from a contact tracer who said everybody has been really cooperative and understanding of the protocol, and haven't really questioned the purpose of it, because at this point, I think a lot of people are familiar with the term and what contact tracers are all about, whereas, a few months ago, I don't think hardly anybody knew what a contact tracer was, even though they do this for other communicable diseases as well. So in some cases, I think residents have been really understanding and cooperative.
Wisconsin's attorney general has warned that scammers could try to take advantage of people. I mean, that's a real issue. What won't legitimate contact tracers do? What won't they ask us?
Yeah, they won't ask for your money. They won't ask for your social security number or bank or credit card information. And they won't identify the person who contracted COVID-19 by name. They'll always call by phone. You're not going to hear from them via text message or email. And they're going to identify themselves by their first and last name and the health department that they work for.
This issue is bigger than Wisconsin. And yet we're really putting this on local officials, and they're trying to balance dispelling things that are untrue that worry community members with also not wanting to promote those rumors. How are they trying to figure that out?
Yeah, it really seems like they're between a rock and a hard place, because I feel like a lot of our local officials are having to answer for decisions that are being made on the federal and state levels. This funding that became so controversial in Appleton is actually CARES Act funding. So we see state and federal level funding trickling down to local communities, and then the local officials are really bearing the brunt of the misinformation. They're the ones that have to answer to their citizens directly. And in many cases, especially in a small community like Appleton, community members probably see their council members on the street or may even know where they live. So there's really no hiding from residents. So I really feel like they're kind of in this pressure zone.
Part of your work is to figure out misinformation and correct it. And I just have to wonder, I mean, is there anything that regular people can do to help stop the rumors and the conspiracy theories that harm our work to slow the spread of this new coronavirus? What do we do?
Since I started doing this social media monitoring work, I've heard from a lot of members of the public who are just like, hey, how do we recognize this stuff online? How do we avoid spreading misinformation ourselves? And there are a couple of handy little tricks that you can employ. Just avoid sharing something that comes from a source that you're not familiar with. Say you see a post on social media that has some sensational headline that evokes a really strong emotional response in you. Before sharing that information, take a moment to assess the source. It's always really helpful to just do a little research. It can be as simple as copy-pasting the name of the publication into Google and seeing what it says. There are a number of fact-check and debunk-style websites that are helpful resources as well. And the most important thing is just to kind of check your emotions and take a moment to assess where the information is coming from before you share it.
Howard, thank you for helping us understand your reporting more.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that was Howard Hardy talking with WPR's Keely Boltina. Howard is a fellow at First Draft, which is a partnership with Wisconsin Watch. You can find a link to the story at WPR.org/mornings. Coming up, we talk about a viral illness that is very rare in Wisconsin, but it caused one death last week in Chippewa County. We learn about the dangers of Eastern equine encephalitis. Phone lines are open. What questions do you have about illnesses spread by mosquitoes and ticks? What do you want to know about how viruses are transmitted between animals and people? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll talk about encephalitis, maybe hear from you right after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.